And welcome back. Yes, it is 10:47 and the debate has concluded. The vice presidential debate, J.D. Vance, Tim Walz, you just heard from them. My name is Joe Beamer. We have David Bellavia. We'll be joined by our panel in just a few moments. But David, kind of what people expected out of this debate. I don't think Tim Walz was underselling himself.
No. We have never, ever in the history of debates seen an implosion. I'm going to tell you something right now. I never in a million years would have thought that a vice presidential debate could actually move the needle. I think this cost Kamala Harris the election today. I really do. Watching Tim Walz come unglued on a question of whether or not he was a liar is one of the strangest, most cringeworthy things I've ever heard in my life. There were things that this guy was saying. Look, we can pull all the quotes out there, but there was some crazy things that were coming out of Tim Walz's mouth today, and he wants to avoid all the media. All those interviews, they want to stay away from the press. That's what got him today. But this poll quote, I don't think we've ever
heard your position. Like, why?
This. Yeah, I sat in that office with those Sandy Hook parents. I've become friends with school shooters.
Okay, listen, man, he became friends with school shooters, okay? Like, what are you doing, man? This guy was all over the place. His face is the thing that memes are created. But when you're asked point blank range, did you lie? J.D. Vance obviously outclassed this guy, but just layered it on. And on these really important policy questions, we're talking about Taylor Swift and Joy in a closing statement. This was a debacle of epic proportions, and I think Harris is going to need to save this with a one-on-one with Trump again.
That was my next question, David, because we said it in the pre-show. Will it be bad enough that one of the candidates will want to debate? But right now it's Harris who's wanted the debate. And, J.D. Vance, just the way he articulates, the way he, I have not seen maybe it was because of Walz and the responses he was giving, but I don't know if I've seen as good a debate performance as I saw from J.D. Vance tonight.
He's really good, but this follow-on question, this will go down in debate history. There you go again, Jimmy Carter. I won't use Walter Mondale's age against him. This is a moment that will live in debate history.
All I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this, so I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protest went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Done. Game, set, match. Put a fork in that, boy. That is over. It is over. That was one of a blockbuster moment in debate history. Unreal. Unreal.
One of the most awkward pauses I think I've heard.
Unbelievable awkward. Unbelievable. I mean, it was horrible. And, if there was one thing to take away from it, you think, well, maybe if you had that exposure and had more, high stakes interviews, maybe if you had a little bit more experience. But again, CBS started this entire debate, Joe Beamer, with the fact that they weren't going to fact check the candidates. And J.D. Vance, far more disciplined and better ability to express himself than President Trump. But he goes out there and goes directly at the CBS News and says, wait a second, you're not supposed to fact check, and you're fact checking me. I'm going to fact check you. And that is one of the things that we've never seen. Here was this moment with CBS.
Ohio does have, thank you, Governor. And just to, for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal.
But it's not a given.
I've got Mark Poloncarz playing.
I was going to say, I didn't know we were getting his expertise.
Thank you, Governor. And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. Right. temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret,
Nora,
but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
because we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you,
Margaret. The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually.
I tell you, Margaret Brennan is not. That's a treacherous thing to do, and ABC News got decimated with their behavior in the last debate. The ratings have reflected that. I think the same thing's going to happen with CBS. This was absolutely, the microphones would stay on, and we aren't going to fact check anyone. They routinely set up fact checks, even to the point of re-asking a question and presenting Tim Walz with the points that he would like to push back on. I mean, it was unbelievable, and even that couldn't help.
It's, you know, in ABC, David, you mentioned their fact checks. I mean, the days following that, their fact checks proved, many of them, to not be facts at all. We are joined also by Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker. Michael, you were listening along to the vice presidential debate. What are your thoughts?
I thought somebody was going to stop the fight. Oh, my goodness. That was something else. I got to tell you, you know, the American people just saw why Donald Trump selected J.D. Vance as his running mate. You want to talk about, you know, they want to call him weird. You just watched a son of working class family from Ohio who grew up to become a Marine Corps Yale Law graduate who just eviscerated a sitting governor in a debate. Unbelievable. I mean, somebody who was articulating, speaking directly to the American people with the issues that they care about versus a guy who was trying to trumpet terrible talking points from a vice presidential, the vice president who has absolutely no plan to solve the problems of the American people. My goodness, that was something else.
I want to ask both of you, David and Michael, the abortion thing. We heard Jack O'Donnell talking about that. You know, one of the things the Harris-Walz campaign's obviously trying to hit on. How do you think J.D. Vance answered that? Because I think that was a different answer than how we've heard Republicans answer that question before.
Well, I think J.D. Vance answered that question the way the American people talk about this issue. He was empathetic. I thought throughout the entirety of the debate, he was respectful of Tim Walz, while also providing a very strong contrast to the talking points that he was provided from the Kamala Harris campaign. But he talked about this issue. He articulated where the President Trump's real stance is, and then told people, this is not what this election is about. The gaslighting from the Democratic Party for years on the issue of abortion, where Donald Trump has rightly returned this issue to the states. But there are real pressing matters that are actually going to be affected by the outcome of this presidential election. And I thought J.D. Vance did a great job of sort of transitioning this wannabe issue from the Democrats into something where we could get back to the conversation of what's really on the ballot this November and why it's so important to the American people. Tim Walz was dying to turn this debate into a discussion about abortion. Donald Trump has rightfully said this is a state's rights issue. Every state will determine their future. And J.D. Vance did a great job of explaining why Donald Trump is focusing on what the president is supposed to be focusing on.
And there was a moment when he was actually asked about his own bill that he signed, and that for me was...
saying it, you may hear him.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
That's when it was over. When you're asked about your own bill and you say, fact check me, and you don't even know what you signed. I mean, in real time, Twitter exploded. Normally, when you're up 35 points, you get the ball back, as J.D. Vance did in the virtual coin toss. You take a knee. Not only does J.D. Vance run shotgun formation, but J.D. Vance is like, in my closing argument, let's talk about energy. Okay, the policies of, I mean, he continued to stack it on. This was incredible. We've seen overwhelming forces with Israel fighting against all enemies. Today, it was J.D. Vance against CBS News, against Tim Walz, against Kamala Harris, against the world. J.D. Vance is a special, special man, and he absolutely just, but he exposed Tim Walz for the bumbling fool that he is.
Well, I think traditionally nobody would say that a vice presidential debate is going to move the needle. You just watched a U.S. Marine who's educated at Yale Law School eviscerate a sitting governor in a significant state. This is a miscalculation of the Harris campaign to think that they could bring Tim Walz, an obscure governor, into the big leagues against a outstanding messenger who's going to articulate a clear vision, right? Like, the Kamala Harris campaign has no roadmap. They have no idea where they're going versus the Trump-Vance campaign that has a very clear vision for what's going to save our country. I was so struck by how J.D. Vance spoke to the American people tonight. I don't know who Tim Walz was speaking to, Kamala Harris or school shooters or somebody. There was a very clear dichotomy tonight. Somebody who was prepared to articulate an administrative agenda that is the Trump-Vance agenda to save our country. And then Tim Walz, who was sort of, I don't know, doing a Jackson Pollock version of a painting to try to articulate the Kamala Harris agenda to save our nation. I have no idea what their plan is, other than trying to gaslight the American people what issues that are not actually on the ballot.
Well, just to back that analysis, CNN and MSNBC right now are running that nobody probably watched this. So if that's their comeback, it was really bad. That was really bad. Look, that poor guy in Jericho that had that missile drop on his head today on closed caption, that was a rough video to watch. This was one of the worst things I've ever seen. You wanted it to stop, but when you see a grown man caught in a lie and wiggle out like that, it was like one of the most uncomfortable, awkward, cringeworthy moments, and it makes you think, man, this is why you're not talking to the media and American independent people that see this election. Why are you avoiding us? Why are you avoiding these tough questions? That's why you're avoiding it, because that's the facade. And it was unbelievable.
He's David Bellavia. We're also joined by Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker. My name's Joe Beamer. We've got another 30 minutes with you breaking down the VP debate. 803-0930, star 930. If you'd like to join, you can also text in at 803-0930. We'll get your thoughts. We'll talk with David. We'll talk with Michael.
I'll tell you what, we're back. Joe Beamer live here. David Bellavia. We've got Chairman of Erie County GOP, Chairman Michael Crocker, with us as well. If you would listen to it here on WBN, you're listening to Joe, you're listening to myself, you're listening to Chairman Crocker. You want to call in 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's see what CNN's saying. Who won the big debate? Well, it's pretty unanimous, even CNN.
I think
agrees.
There was a clear lack of preparation and execution here.
I think actually it's the opposite. I think he had too much preparation.
Maybe. Yeah.
He had so many lines that he was clearly trying to say that he didn't listen. And said when J.D. Vance said one of the many, many things he really hit Kamala Harris on, not Tim Walz, but Kamala Harris, he didn't respond because he clearly had things in his mind. I think the lack of interviews that he has done with national media, with local media, it showed.
It shows the lack, and it's so true. Is he ready for primetime, Joe?
I don't think so. I don't think this ticket's ready for primetime, if you ask me. I mean, it's so funny, because in 2020, you know, they kept Joe Biden in the basement and they used COVID as the example. But I mean, this ticket they're keeping away from the media, which, David, we've pointed out, is a home game most of the time for Democrats. And this ticket wants to stay away from it. Also, the border czar thing. I am getting so sick of the fact check of the border czar. I mean, the same people, the same CBS that is saying that J.D. Vance was wrong to call her the border czar, they were calling her the border czar 2 years ago. I mean, you could get the same publication that is tweeting out that was a false claim who were calling her the border czar 2 years ago. I am so sick of that one being a complete 180. And, you know, we're supposed to believe the fact checkers, but you were calling her a border czar 2 years ago.
I just can't believe in the vetting of J.D. Vance, no one figured out that he had this in his past. This is a pretty big...
Become friends with school shooters. I've seen it. Look.
I mean, you can't be friends with school shooters.
That was a bad line. That was a bad line.
That's the worst one I've ever heard in my life. Look, I'm friends with school shooters. That's like when Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House said, to be fair, some of these illegal immigrants that are loose, that are murderers, are also rapists. So I want you to know there's two. You're calling it multiple categories. Some of these carjacking rapists and murderers are the same people that are now running free. It's fake news.
That's right. Sometimes we counted the numbers twice, so you have to really break those down.
Right. Sometimes the rapists are also the murderers. I mean, this is a disaster. VP debates aren't supposed to do anything. A fly landed on Mike Pence's head. That's what we talked about for 7 days. No one debates. No one talks about these debates. This one might have done it. This one might move the needle.
Well, I mean, you talk about the decision making, right? And the first decision that a presidential candidate has to make is their VP. I think Kamala Harris failed the test.
It was ugly. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WPN. What do you think? Joe, worst moment of... first of all, as it started, the first thing we see is that Tim Walz immediately starts writing things down on a notepad. And that is a debate hack trick where you're given an alphabet and you have to remember, never eat soggy worms. Okay, north, south, east, west. Never eat soggy worms. So then you immediately get to your notepad and write down all the things you were supposed to remember because you don't know the issues. So you're remembering what you're supposed to say, your line, instead of the issue.
Yeah, I mean, right from the get-go, he was looking nervous, and you're right, he kept on looking down at that notepad. Whatever he was writing on that notepad, David, didn't save him, if you ask me.
School shooters, I'm friends with school. How are you going to stop school shooting? You befriend them, be buddies with them, see where they're coming from.
We have Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker as well. And Michael, before the break, we were talking about the policies that came up. I asked about the abortion policy. Again, you were on the ground in probably the top swing state in Pennsylvania. The topics that you heard at the VP debate tonight, were these the topics you were hearing on the ground?
Well, first of all, I think let me go back to the comment about what Tim Walz says about school shooters. We can poke at it, but at the end of the day, I thought that J.D. Vance articulated a serious, substantive reply to that issue, and then Tim Walz came in with one of the all-time weirdest comments I've ever heard, maybe offensive comments, and maybe we talked about misspeaking tonight a lot, but that comment from Tim Walz about befriending school shooters was so out of the bounds of normal. You know, they try
to become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Friends with school shooters is weird. But so, Joe, you ask about, was that the right decision or what am I hearing in Pennsylvania? I think Pennsylvania voters would have been thrilled to hear that their governor Shapiro was running as vice president. Instead, the Democrats chose Tim Walz. And why do they do that? They did that because they were afraid of offending their anti-Israel base. And today, where we're seeing ballistic missiles fired at Israel, the Democratic Party made a decision that putting a pro-Israeli governor as vice president would have been bad for the ticket. And that's insane, especially when you see what Tim Walz just did tonight, where he embarrassed the Democratic Party. I think he embarrassed Kamala Harris. And embarrassing Kamala Harris is a very difficult thing to do, considering she's married to Joe Biden on his administration. So very surreal night for the Democratic Party tonight. But I don't know. I can't speak for them.
803-0930, *930. David, why don't we bring in Dan in Tonawanda? Dan, your thoughts on the VP debate.
Hey, I think that J.D. won the election, the 2024 election. I think he solved the problem of everybody's mind. If something happens to Trump because of his age, can he step in from day one? He proved that he's presidential tonight. But one of the things that stood out to me was he lied about China, he lied about his military career, and he said he was never on Facebook. Well, he's got about 800, almost 900,000 followers on Facebook with some posts on there. So he said that his 17-year-old son witnessed a shooting, and J.D. Vance's, geez, I'm sorry about your son witnessing that, but I've never heard that before. You're telling me that all these people that work for these guys that wouldn't have known about that or heard about it from when he's governor, there had to be something out there that would have came out. I wonder if that was another lie, just to make himself look good or you know, sway more votes his way about the gun issue or the Second Amendment.
Dan, you realize, just for people out there that don't realize the importance of that Tiananmen Square thing, he chose that day to get married because Tiananmen Square meant so much to him. And the origin story of why that meant so much to him, why did you go to China 30 times? Why does China give you all this special access? And your response was, because Tiananmen Square changed my life. I was in Hong Kong at the time. None of that's true. That's unbelievable, is your entire origin story.
He lies about issue after issue, and the reason why is because he wants to further his political career. And if these people get in there, if she becomes a president and he becomes a VP, I don't think that America can survive that. I honestly think that we'll be finished as a nation as we know it. We won't. The First Amendment, that'll be thrown out the window. What about the Supreme Court stacking it? What about the Second Amendment? I mean, these issues are all on the table. And the only thing that I think that JD missed out on is when he was talking about abortion, he should have brought up that we want to make adoption easier because it's very hard to adopt kids in America. It's a lot easier to go overseas and get a kid than it is in America. If they would have said something like that to bring out more things positive versus having an abortion, I think that would have helped the cause a little bit more. But that's really the only issue that they have that they can run on is abortion, in my eyes.
And we've also determined that the courts believe that you can constitutionally yell fire in a theater. If you believe there's a fire in a theater, then I don't know why people get all twisted up in the fire in the theater reference to the First Amendment. But it was fascinating from the very beginning. The first question, J.D. Vance becomes Kamala Harris and says, I was born in a middle-class family and raised with the Keebler elves in a tree making E.L. Fudge cookies. That's what I did. Tells his whole origin story at the beginning. But one thing J.D. Vance does, he always answers the questions. And there was so much subtext where J.D.'s like, yeah, I admit when I'm wrong. That's what a leader does. I thought that was powerful.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, J.D. Vance said he admits when he's wrong. And Tim Walz says, what was the term he used?
Knucklehead.
Yeah, knucklehead. I'm just a knucklehead. Yeah, it was... It was an interesting night. Again, I said it this morning, David. I thought that Tim Walz was kind of underplaying. So anything he did, you'd be surprised about. It was worse than I had thought. I want to ask you this.
If I took Dan's call on the morning show and he said this is going to change the election, I'd be like, Dan, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Dan in Tonawanda right now, I think, is 100% correct. This election is so close. That's a difference maker if you're in Arizona. That's a difference maker if you're in Michigan. And you've been calling J.D. Vance weird. He answered every question. He looked into the camera. And you look like Cookie Monster. And you're, Gaffigan was more presidential today than Tim Walz.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, Michael, talking about how close this election is, we all were in agreement before this that, you know, these VP debates don't really move the needle much. But, I mean, it was such a knockout for J.D. Vance. Do you think this resonated with some of those swing voters?
Well, first I want to start with, to the previous caller, I don't know the story about Tim Walz's son seeing a shooting. And if that's true, it's horrifying. But I thought JD's response was pretty humanizing, right? He really did grab onto that and say, Governor, if that's true, I am mortified. And I thought that was a humanizing moment for both of them. But I thought beyond that, what JD did tonight to speak to the American people, he spent a lot of time where JD or Tim Walz, I think, spent a lot of time talking about the issues the Harris campaign told him to speak about. JD decided he was going to speak to the American people. He did it talking about issues like affordability, like energy, like crime, like the border. These are the things that most Americans are talking about at their dinner tables every single night. That's what JD did. And he did it remarkably well and in a way that I think most Midwestern voters, where there's so many key swing states, can digest. And that's what the Kamala Walz campaign is missing. They don't have any ability to speak to Midwestern voters or working class voters in a way that they appreciate. You're not going to bring Taylor Swift in here and tell Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan voters how to feel. I'm just not going to do it.
That's I completely agree. 803-0930, star 930. We've got a few minutes left here to get your thoughts on the VP debate, which
everyone's fact checking this son at a community center, and the New York Post has run it on their front page, which means that they want this in the record. This isn't gonna be one of those things that just kind of goes away. People are really leading with it. CBS News is leading with it. The New York Times has a piece on it. The New York Post has a piece on it. Everyone has a piece on it. And I'll tell you what, if this doesn't check out, I mean, it's game, set, match for this campaign. I mean, you can't have a pathological... I mean, that's almost sociopathic behavior.
You think that Tim Walz would exaggerate something?
I'm just saying that if this story turns out to be untrue, Chairman Crocker, I mean, that's got to be the kiss of death, right? It's over.
Look, I think... First of all, I think J.D. handled all of those challenges with such grace. I mean, this is a masterclass debating, right? This guy was equal parts intellectually competent and articulate, but also empathetic and thoughtful. Tim Walz had no answer for J.D. tonight. Anybody who was ever questioning why Donald Trump selected J.D. Vance as his running mate got a absolute lesson in politics. This guy was flawless. He did it all. David, you've debated, right? You know how hard that is. This guy perfect tonight. And he was smart. He was articulate. He drove the message home. But he did it in a way that I think everybody could say, man, I get that guy. That guy gets what I'm going through. And Tim Walz, I don't know where the hell he was on his barometer, but he had no pulse with the American people. J.D., delivered Donald Trump's message. He was articulate. He was impassionate. He was empathetic. He gets what the American people are going through. Tim Walz was clueless, lost, and in the void.
He really was. And like, you forget, this guy is a sitting governor right now, and he does not communicate well. Like, and I'm saying that as someone who, believe me, I've had my tongue twisters. I've had issues at times. I shouldn't admit that on the radio, but it is late at night. But he just seems like communicating is not his thing, and he had a pretty bad debate. We'll see how it affects the polls coming up in what is already a close election. People are already voting, David, 35 days away from Election Day, and this could be the last time we see the two campaigns on stage together.
Well, look, Martha Raddatz, ABC News, Tim Walz looked very uncomfortable, made us uncomfortable looking at him. That's really funny. It's one thing to look uncomfortable. It's another thing to make other people uncomfortable looking at you. But ABC News hammering this, and now you're starting to hear the clamoring for a debate. And I think that is the canary in the coal mine for how internals are going. Now, understand, even though this is a presidential politics, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars will be spent on advertising and polling. But you don't really have, you know, Chairman Crocker can speak to this. You might have a gubernatorial race, but it's Chairman Crocker in an assembly that's able to see the polling in a smaller race that shows maybe your guy isn't doing all that well. And we're starting to see right now in Michigan, a lot of Democrats lower on the ticket are saying, in my poll, I'm losing, and so is Harris, and we're in a county that you need to win this state. This is trouble, and I think that's now starting to reverberate with Harris wanting another shot at Trump.
Oh, 100%. David, you just saw Gretchen Whitmer get exposed, that she's saying that Harris is underwater in her polling in Michigan. And this is what happens. This is why they threw Joe Biden out, because of a bad debate performance. Tim Walz better be checking, you know, looking over his shoulder, because he's going to be worried they're going to axe him next. But at the end of the day, what happened was Joe Biden had a disastrous debate performance, and the Democratic Party said, if this guy is the top of our ticket, we're all screwed. So instead of riding with their guy, they pushed him out. and they put in Kamala Harris, but I don't know that the result has been any better, right? I mean, Tim Harris just embarrassed the Democratic Party on the national stage. J.D. Vance just wiped the floor with him, and Kamala Harris hasn't done herself any favors either. But they're worried about what the national ticket's going to do down ballot. You have the House of Representatives hanging by a thread. You have the U.S. Senate ready to change hands. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about maintaining their power. And if they're concerned that Tim Walz or Kamala Harris stands in their way, they will push them away and invest all their resources in making sure they can have some mantle of power in Washington, because that's what the Democratic Party is obsessed with.
And there it is. David, final words on the 2024 VP debate?
Yeah, I'm starting to read some really early chatter about Tim Walz disappointing people, and if he isn't a person that the campaign can trust. You know, you just heard from Michael Crocker talking about him looking over his shoulder. That would be a reason why you would get rid of him. It's because you can't trust him. And if he just told a lie that his son didn't witness a shooting on top of the Tiananmen Square thing, I think that could be enough to the joy trade might be looking for a replacement, because I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life, Joe.
By the way, all that on top of also exaggerating his military service.
Right. Not knowing he didn't deploy.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, here's the thing. They know he's not good with the media because, I mean, they've been hiding him almost as well as they hid Biden.
Right, but this really was about a Jewish governor in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you could not have that represented. And that's quite telling in 2024 that the Democrats are still dealing with anti-Semitism.
I'll tell you, it did it not make it clear tonight? I mean, Josh Shapiro, a very popular governor in a must-win state, and this is the guy they picked instead.
It's tough. A lot of people are saying Glenn Youngkin would have been a better choice for VP. I don't think anyone could have been better. What J.D. Vance just did there was a masterclass. Everyone was really high on him in Ohio. I never really got the J.D. Vance vibe.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this guy is the future, and that was one of the most incredible performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, David, I was all on Glenn Youngkin. He is a very popular governor in a purple state that could really change the election. But I think J.D. Vance answered a lot of questions. Well, he has over the last few weeks, but especially tonight on why he was picked. David, look forward to listening to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It's, as always, been a pleasure.
Likewise to you and BMAZ in the morning.
We will talk with you then, and it will all start at 5 a.m. with a new morning. My thanks to Jack O'Donnell of O'Donnell Associates, Michael Crocker, the Erie County GOP chairman, and David Bellavia. Our American Stories coming up next, followed by Coast to Coast here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll talk to you tomorrow.